Conference Committee on House Bill 3104, Saturday, July 31st, 1993, 2:30 p.m., hearing room 137.
Floor will come to order. The record show that all members of the conference committees are attendance.
I think so. I got to be sure.
Maybe you could tell us what the status of the bill is and what changes prompted us to be in a conference committee.
When the House sent out Senate Bill, or House Bill 3104, it contained an exemption for telecommunications and public utilities for public disclosure.
Yeah, here it is. A endorsed, B endorsed.
And the, went over to the Senate Business Committee. I believe they went ahead and just do pass, but then it was directed over to Senate Judiciary. They took out the reference to public utilities and just left in telecommunications utilities, inserted the provisions of Senate Bill 499, which deals with professional licensing boards with regard to public disclosure of suspected violations of laws or rules of licensees. And then they also added a provision such that an individual may request a public body to keep confidential the individual's name and address if the individual can demonstrate that their safety is at risk. That's Section 5.
So would it be safe to say that Section 8 is where 499 somewhat starts weaving its way through?
That's my understanding. I'm not clear on what Section 7 is. Maybe Senator Springer recognizes that. Whether that's in addition.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be interested in hearing the discussion by the interested parties relating to the material on page 6 and this issue of confidentiality.
That would be the first seven lines on page 6 of the being engrossed and Section 5, is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, would could have those parties come forward who might want to speak to those sections?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Nina Johnson. I'm Executive Assistant to the Secretary of State and help staff the work of the Public Records Advisory Council, which the Secretary of State chaired this last interim. It was a council that was created by the 1991 legislature and was directed to look at Oregon's public records law, to review all of the exemptions to the law, and specifically to look at the issue of privacy, and then to report back to this session, which that group did in the form of two bills, Senate Bill 500, which was a major rewrite of Oregon public records law, and then the companion bill, Senate Bill 499, the thrust of which, only in much improved version, is contained within amended House Bill 3104 passed by the Senate. The section to which you refer is a section that was similar to one that was in the original Senate Bill 500, Section 5, and Section 7 is related to Section 5 on page 7. This has been rewritten to make it a little narrower and more tightly written, but the thrust of it is the notion that certain people are in personal danger and because of that need to be protected from having public agencies disclose their home addresses and home phone numbers. There's a lot of case law on this. You may have heard of the name of the case, Jordan versus DMV. It's a fairly major case interpreting existing public records law on whether and under what circumstances an agency can withhold disclosure of an individual's address and phone number. And so DMV, by its own practices and procedures, has implemented that case and the guidelines of that case. But it's never been codified in law, and quite frankly, there are many other agencies other than DMV which have the name, the address and home phone number of citizens of our state. The reason Section 7 is in there is we didn't know if Senate Bill 884 would go through, which dealt with voter registration records. And for those of you who know, the House I know did approve that bill, I think a couple days ago, and that has been passed by both the House and the Senate, but we needed to accommodate voter registration records. So So the intent of Section 5 is to try and set up a uniform policy throughout the state on when an agency and how an agency should go about determining whether or not to affirmatively respond to a request from a citizen that their home address and home phone number not be disclosed. And that's the thrust of Section 5. What it does is ask the Attorney General to promulgate rules based on the guidelines in that section. The reason we went ahead and did that is we didn't want each agency doing it one way in one agency and one way in another agency, but to have a uniform guidelines that all agencies would be able to follow. And that's pretty much the intent of Section 5, 6, and 7 is to try and implement that. Beth Bridges, who is a member of the council, is also up here, and she's been very involved in the issue of personal privacy during the course of the Public Records Advisory Council's work.
Mr. Chair, members of the...
Just a moment, we have a question. Representative Johnson.
I guess I would ask, I know that the Rules Committee that I serve on passed that bill out, and does that bill conflict with this now or not, or have you dealt with the conflict?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that conflict, even though I had mentioned it to Legislative Council, somehow did not get caught because it is a hard one to catch. I had a long talk with Ted Reutlinger in Legislative Council, who does all the elections drafting, and he's very comfortable that if this section were to pass in this bill, that the more specific would prevail. It's consistent with 884, let's put it that way. It's just much more detailed. And so for purposes of voter registration, and we'd probably want to come back next session and think about how to do that, but it's not a problem, I guess, is my bottom line, is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are just a couple of things that
I'd
like...
Can you give your name for the record, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Beth Bridges. I work for the City of Eugene, and I was on the Public Records Advisory Council to represent local governments. A couple of things that I wanted to add. The bill requires that once this determination is made, that it is kept in effect for 5 years, which deals with some of the issues that governments had just in terms of the administrative overhead of allowing this particular process to go through. I think it's very important governments have found themselves in a situation where people are coming to ask for residential information, and we feel we have to give it out, and yet we're in a bind about protecting the people who we are really there to serve. The other thing that I would like to address my comments to, you asked about clarification on some of the technical amendments that were on lines 2 through 7 of page 6. Basically what this does is distinguish between a custodian of a record and an agent for the custodian. Right now, if you have a record at all, you are considered a custodian. This sets up a secondary type of relationship. So for example, things like computer centers that have records but they're not really theirs are no longer put in a position of having someone come to them and ask for the record.
Representative Byers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. Under Section 5, anybody can request, but the public body will only exempt disclosure of that information if the person requesting demonstrates that it would put them in danger?
Mr. Chair, Representative Byer, yes, that is the standard that's set out in Section 5, and that's pretty consistent with what the case law has been in terms of interpreting Oregon's existing law. I think what this does is help sort of loosen up this very tight framework that was fact-specific in the Jordan case, mm-hmm. and allows agencies and hopefully the Attorney General to take a slightly more expansive view of what personal safety means. For example, I know that a number of public agencies are extremely concerned about feeling like they have to give out the home addresses and home phone numbers of all public employees. And so there are some employees who work in very sensitive areas. It may be in a public controversial area, it may be in the world of corrections, it may be in the world of children's services. And so their fact situation may not fit the fact situation of Jordan, but you may be able to define personal safety, and hopefully the Attorney General will do that in conformance and in concert with this that would encompass those kinds of situations.
Mr. Chair.
Another question.
If I can continue, I guess my concern is is really not in terms of being more liberal and more persuasive, but is in more in terms of keeping the records open. And I would, my view is to keep the, I would rather not exempt disclosure unless there is a real pressing need for it. And I'm not sure where we're going with this. If this, I'm a little concerned about the conversation we just had in terms of the tendency is to create a really wide loophole to limit disclosure of everything.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Beyer, I might have misstated the point I was trying to make, because I think the whole point of putting in the statute the specific language demonstrates to the satisfaction of the public body that the personal safety of the individual or the personal safety of a family member is in danger if it remains available for public inspection. I think our goal was to narrow it. And then if you move on to lines 39 through the page, on page 6 through the top part of page 7, what this tries to do, and this is similar to what was done in Senate Bill 884, is to try and designate some of the kinds of evidence that the Attorney General should be looking at when they promulgate their rule. And so I think our intent was, and I know the intent of the Judiciary Committee and the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee in developing this language in 884, is to say it's like kinds of things. So these are the kinds of the parameters that you're looking at.
Further questions on these sections that the witnesses are speaking to? Possibly you might, we have another document in front of us that is being suggested, possibly considered, that would affect Section 5, Sub 1. Have you had a chance to see that document?
Mr. Chair, yes, I have.
Any comments?
I'm sympathetic, Mr. Chair, to that issue, and I don't know if Beth's had a chance to see it. Have you seen? Yeah. You know, I don't want to at all be unsympathetic. My concern about putting that in there would be just not having had time to look at the language, and is it narrow enough to fit within the like kinds of things that we're talking about, some of the concerns that Representative Beyer has. But I want to make it clear on the record that we should not, because somebody happens to be a public employee, foreclose them from being able to pursue this if, in fact, they feel that because of a controversy they're involved in or a situation they're involved in at work, because we have had employees seriously harassed and they've been able to walk up to the desk in Eugene or Portland or anywhere else and just get it like that. And so I'm very sympathetic to that situation, and quite frankly, Senate Bill 500 originally did have a specific exemption for home addresses and home phone numbers of public employees, and that was part of a much broader and more complex public privacy section, which is way too complex to incorporate into this bill.
Okay. Further questions of the witnesses?
I guess I look at this.
Representative Johnson.
Doesn't the language in the that's been amended into 34104 effectively do what they're proposing here? Am I missing something?
They want to exempt all public employees.
All public employees.
It's just an expansion of the first one.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think it kind of cements for them that would, I think they want to make sure that that's the kind of thing that would be encompassed in the notion of what personal safety means.
Mm-hmm. Yes, some thoughts.
Senator?
Yeah, how, and maybe this is better addressed to the proponents, but my concern would be, and I don't know if you can help me resolve this, is what's the definition of harassment? I know the term harassment from the criminal law, and that generally means offensive physical contact, but I don't think that that's how this is used here. And I guess also a matter of significant public controversy. My thought is that though I don't think we have any representatives of the public employees unions, if there's a disagreement or a question about whether or not a local government is to be represented or its employees represented by a union, or if two unions may be competing to represent the same body of employees, I believe they now feel that they should be entitled to the list of employees and their address and phone number. And we may or may not agree with that, but I don't think they would be using that for purposes of harassment, but they would be trying to establish contact with the folks who might be in the bargaining unit. And that in itself could be a significant public controversy, whether or not they're organized or who represents them. And those things happen all the time. And I don't know where the sympathies might be, and I'm not here to speak for those union people, but that's the kind of situation that I hope we're not trying to get at here, although it could be affected.
Mr. Chair, Senator Springer, and I'm aware of that controversy that was in Senate Bill 500, and it was something we felt that we probably needed to address at some point. So we would certainly not want anything in this bill that would get into that area. I know that Jackie Bloom from the City of Portland is here, in case you wanted to hear from her.
Representative Johnson, another question?
I think it may be a better listen if she's going to come up, but then maybe that'll clear the air on that.
Further questions of the other witnesses? Thank you. Now, would the proponent come forward that has the amendment we were just discussing?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jackie Bloom from the City of Portland. We brought this issue to the Public Records Advisory Council during the interim when they were putting together their legislation, because we were concerned that about our safety of our employees who were involved in controversial issues like difficult land use planning decisions and other issues that might prove to be unpopular. The issue of the union organizing was not at all in our minds when we came forward with that. We felt very strongly that being a public employee does not necessarily have to be a 24-hour proposition, and people who can be contacted at home or need to be usually carry pagers. It's just that we're concerned about the welfare of our employees, and we propose this language. It would because we feel that the language of the bill is pretty narrow, as the proponents have discussed, and to just broaden it a little bit, we thought we could get public employees to qualify who were involved in more controversial issues in the course of the decision making of various bureaus of the city.
Questions?
Well,
Senator?
Yeah, I was on that Public Records Advisory Council. If I was present at the meeting where this was discussed, I'm not recalling much of the discussion, to be honest, but what does harassment mean? Is that any contact? If you happen to run into somebody in the grocery store after hours, you know they work for the City of Portland, and say, you know, I think you guys aren't doing your job right. I mean, citizens have a certain right to petition government. We're not talking about those sort of incidental contacts, are we? Or
no, Chair Repine and Senator Springer, I think the issue that was used as an example during the interim was brought to the committee by Craig Prosser, who was in our auditor's office, and had to do with an incident which happened in the context of filming of that Madonna movie that was done about a year or so ago. And a couple of groupies hanging around City Hall were pressing to get into the building and be involved. And when they were told that they couldn't come in, they demanded to have the home addresses of some of the people in the office that were just people who were kind of marginal and who were a little bit scary, but not to the point where you could actually call the police or do anything in that regard. And that was the sort of incident we were talking about.
Representative Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has there been a case where a member of the public has come forth and asked for the home address or telephone number of an individual?
I'm not aware of that. I could get that information. Obviously, at this late date, it's not going to help, but it would be the auditor's office and then the city attorney's office that could have that on record.
Further questions?
I think not. I guess I'm a little uncomfortable with this proposed amendment. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear the Senator's thoughts.
Well, I would hate to support it if it meant that we were going to lose Section 5, I guess, is the way. I would hope that, there's some larger issues here that we may discuss, but I would hope that the committee would look favorably upon including the language on page 6, the definitions. I don't think there's any controversy about that, and I think that is important for the reasons that Ms. Bridges stated. And I would hope the committee, at the very least, could consider favorably the new sections 5 through 7. And if the City of Portland's amendment is going to endanger that favorable consideration, then I would have to reluctantly oppose it.
Well, let me express the concerns I have, and I think it's what Senator Spears talked about, is we all can sit here and talk about the term and the terminology of harassment, but I'm, you know, where does it go once this body adjourns and how is it interpreted? That's the part, you know, how open is open when we start discussing it. It's not what you call very well defined. We can sit here and say what it is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to have any merits down the line.
Mr. Chair, we were just thinking with the additional language that it would give a little bit more guidance to the AG's office when they do the rulemaking.
Okay. It appears that I'm getting some uncomfortable feelings over here on this side. Okay, thank you. Okay, we've discussed all those sections up now. We're at section 8, staff, section 8.
Section 8 is where 499 starts.
I know from the perspective of the House, there's a reluctancy to accept the section 8 and through that would be the embodiment of 499 or what would represent 499. I think my sense is that the rest of the amendments would be acceptable.
I believe that I could concur. But
we would probably have more of a...
Would you agree?
The difficulty would arise from Section 8 on. So that's...
So...
I don't know how pressed for time. Senator Smith had asked to be excused because he had another conference committee, and he's been standing in because Senator Hamby's excused today for the funeral of a family member. But might there be a brief opportunity to hear from the proponents of 499? As I think you've heard, I happen to serve on the Public Records Advisory Committee. Representative Parks served on that committee also. We spent a lot of time in the Senate working on it, and I guess, did it go to the Judiciary Committee at all, or did it just come to
my
the
committee.
Commerce?
Went to Commerce.
And it's my understanding that your committee, apparently for workload or other reasons, didn't have a chance to even schedule a hearing on it, and I guess...
Perhaps I could address that, and I will. When that bill came to
we had, committee... If I may, I'm sorry. We had compromised it a lot, believe me, to get it out. It's really kind of the ultralight version of 499, and you've just got a very small part of 500, and I mean, there were civilians, we had bank executives and others who spent hundreds of hours working on this issue, and so I guess there was a little disappointment that the House didn't get a chance to consider the merits of the legislation.
Okay,
Representative Johnson.
When the bill arrived in the Commerce Committee, I went to see Representative Parks and discussed the bill with him, knowing he had been involved in the process. His statement to me was that you'd take a minimum of 2 or 3 weeks to get through the bill and deal with the problems. He says it's a good bill with a lot of problems. Our committee had 515 bills. I had to choose, and I just elected not to go into this because we would have had to have taken that much time. I believed he meant, in all honesty, urged caution because he felt that the bill required a substantial amount of work, so that's why we didn't move the bill. And I would ask that the Senate recede from... First, we ought to hear the proponents, I suppose, but...
Well, I suspect that we can do that, but at least the signal I've gotten is that we were going to ask for that removal, and I don't know if it would be just an effort of time people spending on something that I'm not in a position to change. So you were speaking in on behalf of Senator Smith, is timing?
Well, do we have maybe 5 minutes to hear from representative from the newspaper publishers or Secretary of State's office? If you care to make any comments? Or less? If the chair pleases. Maybe not.
Yeah.
And Gordon, Senator Smith's time away?
I'm not sure when he's going to be able to rejoin us.
You can constitute a majority when there's two members on there?
Yeah.
We need to, do you want me to go, see if you could come back over just for the vote?
That would be helpful, I think, at this time, it's either that or we...
He's up in 357.
Oh, great, okay.
So that's a little bit of a hike.
Okay, we'll stand at ease then until we find out what Senator Gordon Smith is up to. And make some other comments possibly as we're waiting for Senator Smith. Name for the record, please, again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Nina Johnson, Executive Assistant to the Secretary of State. I'll be really brief. I just wanted to be able to take a very brief opportunity to talk about what the thrust and intent is behind Sections 8 through the end of the bill, which are known, I guess, by its infamous Senate Bill 499, although I need to be very clear that a number of technical problems that were identified on the Senate floor and that which we promised a number of senators we would correct in the House, given the chance to do that, that we did go ahead and correct in this bill, and specifically some issues relating to the confidentiality of complainants, so that we're not in a situation where we're discouraging people from making complaints in a number of other areas. So to the extent that there were technical problems in the original bill going over to the House from the Senate, I believe a number of those problems were corrected in this bill, House Bill 3104. The main goal of 3104 is to try and give the public some better information as consumers of professional licensee services about professional licensing actions by the boards. As many of you may know, the Oregon State Bar right now is totally open in its disciplinary process, and we originally looked at that model, quite frankly, for Senate Bill 499. And the bar is open, and they have had a very good experience with it, and in fact, they have carried that message to the national bar in trying to advocate that throughout the country, feeling that it is better for the profession and it's better for the consumer if those professional licensing actions are open. What we did is look at the bar model and then be responsive to some of the concerns raised by some of the more sensitive professions like the health professionals in enabling people who may have been the victims of sensitive kinds of professional actions that are actionable to be able to be keep their identity confidential. And so what Sections 8 through the end of House Bill 3104 do is set what we call a minimum standard for public disclosure of information relating to professional licensees. And what that enables the consumer to do is to be able to, number one, find out whether or not a complaint has been filed. Right now, for example, with physicians, you cannot even find out. You could call and there could be 35 pending complaints against an individual doctor, and there's no way that you could know that. Secondly, it provides that once the investigation is complete, that that information can also be available. And thirdly, that people will know what the final disposition is of a complaint against a professional licensee, whether or not, whether that person's exonerated, which certainly should be public, and whether or not that person is disciplined. This bill isn't simple or easy. It involves some tough policy choices. But in the view of the Public Records Advisory Council, and certainly in the view of the Secretary of State, there was a strong desire to err on the side of the consumer, to err on the side of the public, and to err on the side of being able to make sure that the professional licensing boards are accountable to the people that they were designed to protect, and that is the people that are being either served by or treated by these professionals. I'd be happy to do a section-by-section discussion. I don't think in our view that there are technical problems with the bill. We've certainly reviewed at great length with Senate Judiciary, and we would certainly urge serious consideration of this. I'd also like to tell the committee that there are a lot of other options that could be looked at that would not take very long to discuss, at least in concept. If the committee were to identify what specific concerns there are, we're certainly willing to talk about and negotiate on that, because there are different ways of approaching the issue of how you disclose this information. And we want to work with the committee if possible, we're certainly disappointed that we weren't able to work on it during the regular session with the House, and are ready and willing to do that at this point in the session. So I really appreciate you giving this time, and would hope that you would seriously think about looking at something like this model in terms of protecting our consuming public. And I appreciate you giving me the time to make this statement.
Thank you, Anna. Question, Representative Johnson?
Yeah, could I make a motion to remove the sections of House Bill 3104 that's commonly known as Senate Bill 499?
Representative Johnson has made a motion that we would delete Section 8 and those sections that would be commonly known as Senate Bill 499 to House Bill 3104. Discussion? Representative Johnson, or Byers?
But it's the, I think there's some good stuff here, but I think it's just too late in the session. I would have liked to have been able to look at this during the session. It's, I'm real concerned about this, but at this point, obviously we have enough reluctance on the House side that I don't think we could get the bill passed, repassed on the floor with the Senate. And I would hate to lose what else we've got here and let it set in conference.
Senator Schmaier?
Just briefly, I really thank the chair and the members for the chance to hear some brief testimony. I hope it's helpful in terms of explaining what we tried to do. And believe me, our amendment 3104 was done in conjunction with an opportunity to advise the original proponents of the bill. And they've been very gentle people about this and understanding that what has happened to their bill. It was not seen as a high